Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We're continuing our study and we are now in chapter 3. We're going to be focused in verses 1 through 18 this morning. Galatians 3, 1 through 18. This is God's word. "You foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing? If in fact it was for nothing? So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard, just like Abraham who believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness? You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the Scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaimed the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations will be blessed through you.' Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, 'Everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed.' Now, it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. But the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. The one who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Brothers and sisters, I'm using a human illustration. No one sets aside or makes additions to a validated human will. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, 'and to seeds,' as though referring to many, but referring to one, 'and to your seed,' who is Christ. My point is this. The law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously established by God and thus cancel the promise. For if the inheritance is based on the law, it is no longer based on the promise. But God has graciously given it to Abraham through the promise. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy an inspired word. The Apostle Paul is going to go on in this chapter and talk about the purpose of the law. But before he does, he wants to make it very, very clear. Before he talks about what the purpose is, he wants to make it very clear what the purpose is not. The purpose of the law is not to undo the promise of God. The purpose of the law is not to replace the promise of God. There is a purpose for the law, and he'll talk about that. And I'm going to try and resist talking about it this morning. But as we look at these verses this morning, I want you to try and get the image that Paul is giving these people. He uses a number of metaphors, and I'm going to introduce one that he does not use, but that might have some relevance for us in this room. I want you to imagine that you are flying from Knoxville to New York. You're in a jet. You're making good time. And there's actually a tailwind. The pilot has announced on the intercom that we have a tailwind. We're going to be in New York a few minutes early. And so, encouraged by this news, you decide, well, we're over Pennsylvania. I think I'll go ahead and step outside and fly the rest of the way on my own. How would that work? Okay? I mean, that would be insane. That would be catastrophe. Well, we're making good time. I'm moving along at several hundred miles an hour. I think I can take it from here. It's not that far from Pennsylvania to New York. I'll just fly the rest of the way on my own. No, you won't. You will go crashing to the ground if you try and fly without being in the jet. You understand? Paul comes to a group of sinners like us, proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ. They believe, God pours his Spirit into their lives, and after they've gone on for a while, some people come along and say, hey, no, what Jesus did at the cross is not enough. There's some things you've got to do. You can't really be saved just by trusting in Christ. It's Jesus plus you, okay? It's got to be a cooperative effort here. So, I mean, you know, you got off to a good start, that's great, but now let us tell you about circumcision. Oh, the joys of circumcision. Okay. I mean, they were being sold a bill of goods. They were being urged to shift their faith from the sufficiency of Christ to the necessity of performance. And if you believe that lie, you have just stepped off the jet. And so Paul will go on to tell them, hey, circumcision is nothing. It's not good or bad, but it's over. Okay? And I tell you, if you receive circumcision, you are cut off from Christ. Well, that's shocking. Why? Because you've stepped off the jet. It's not the circumcision part, it's the reason why you did it. If you do something thinking, by doing this, I can make myself right with God. By doing this, I can improve on what Christ did. No. You cannot have it both ways. And that is the point that Paul is making. Look again at verse 3. Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? I'll take it from here. That's what they were doing. That was the problem with circumcision. Paul was not anti-circumcision. Paul would have one of his proteges circumcised in order to facilitate ministry. It wasn't about circumcision being bad. It's about thinking you have to do something in order to earn your salvation. I don't care what it is. If you think you have to do this thing in order for God to accept you, in order for God to save you, that's disaster. And so he says, having begun in the Spirit, having begun so well, have you now been totally deceived so that you think you can take it from here? Have you ever done that with God? Maybe not about salvation, just about something else. Let me just tell you, God is the one who gives us our next breath. Okay? My heart is beating today because God ordained it. We are all entirely dependent on Him, whether we acknowledge it or not. Everything is His. And so it is monumental arrogance and insanity for us to approach anything in our lives as if we don't need God. Okay. God, I need your help a little bit with this over here, and I'm really concerned about this. I'd really like for you to, but the rest of it, I got it. Disaster. Absolute disaster. And these folks were doing that when it came to salvation. That's why this letter got written. It is essential that God's people never forget that we are entirely dependent upon His grace. Do not take your eyes off of Jesus.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, point number one, if you want a title, some of you I know take notes. Redeemed from the curse is the title of the message. And if you want a point number one, it's you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Key verse, verse 3. Point number two, grace was always the plan. Grace was always the plan. Paul shows that 430 years before the law was given, God had already declared that we're going to be saved by grace through faith. That's how we're saved. That's how they were saved in the Old Testament. We are sons of Abraham, and God says concerning him that he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You say, well, I think it's very important how a person behaves. Oh, so does God. But there's a little problem if you try and apply that to justification. Because as Paul says in Galatians, and as Paul says in Romans, and as we say quite often in this church, no one will be justified in God's sight by keeping the law. Why? That's not good enough? No, because we don't do it. Paul points out in this passage, verse 10, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed. Well, that's not good news. Why not? Well, because none of us does everything written in the book of the law. Well, so that means all of us are under a curse. Wow. So if the law demonstrates that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, we need a Savior, don't we? Yes. Preview. Spoiler alert. That's the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to demonstrate our need for a Savior. There are things about our lives that are not as they should be, and we don't even have the wisdom to see what's wrong. We just know something ain't right. You ever feel that way? Something ain't right. I shouldn't act like that. I shouldn't respond like that. I shouldn't think like that. And the law comes along and puts a plumb line and says, here's the way it's supposed to be. And we say, oh yeah, I'm out of sync. You ever see those things in the mall where they're trying to get business for the chiropractor? You see those, you know? And they've got the little chart and they'll have you stand there. And I don't care who you are, you're out of alignment. Okay? What the law does is it holds up a standard that shows all of us to be messed up. We're all messed up. Every single one of us. So what is the hope? Well, the hope of reconciliation to God is only in Christ Jesus. He is our only hope. And so grace was always, always the plan. Look again at verses 7 through 9. You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaimed the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed through you. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. And so God's plan was to save us by grace through faith. But in order for that to happen, Jesus had to die on the cross. If you look at verse 14, the purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Jesus became cursed for us. He bore the curse. The punishment that we deserved, Jesus took. He cried out on the cross, it is finished, using an accounting term that meant the debt is paid in full. There isn't anything left. Everything that stood against us was nailed to the cross. Everything. Look at Colossians. Colossians 2:14. Oh, we got to go back to verse 13. Colossians 2:13-14. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and was opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. He bore the curse. You and I have all sinned. The result is we're all under a curse. Cursed is everyone who doesn't obey everything in the law. We're under a curse. God comes along and he says, we're going to wipe that out. We're going to do away with that. How? Through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He bore the curse for us. And as a result, we're not under the curse anymore. You say, oh yes, but I've still messed up. Yeah, and you need to know that. And that should inspire enormous gratitude to the Lord for what he has done for you. Jesus said, the one who's been forgiven much loves much. And it's not that some people don't really need to be forgiven for very much. It's that some people don't really know how badly they've messed up and how much they need forgiveness. Because they think these things are the sins that count. Their sins are okay. You know. Well, I mean, I'm sure God understands nobody's perfect. If you realize what God has done for you, you will gladly sing with John Newton, Amazing Grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If you think you're pretty good, I know there's a couple of dings in the fender, but I'm still in pretty good shape. You just don't know. Your whole chassis rusted out. All right? Yeah. You may have a nice paint job, but let me tell you, underneath, it's falling apart. It's falling apart. But if you know that you desperately need God's grace, that's the work of God's Spirit. That is evidence that God has been stirring in you and causing you to realize, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. That's when you can hear good news. Jesus came to save sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous, because there aren't any. He came for you and me. Hallelujah. So, the purpose of the cross was in order that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Now, please don't miss that. Paul is writing to people and he's saying, do you understand this thing about the Spirit? He doesn't just work miracles among you. He has come to live his life through you. God isn't just near me. He's alive in me. God is alive in me. That's the miracle of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's the gospel. So this idea that we're still working on trying to fix ourselves and make ourselves lovable for God, we can't fix ourselves up. But Jesus came to save us. And let me tell you something about Jesus. He finishes what he starts. He will see us through. Hallelujah. I am so glad. If this was resting, if I had to fly the rest of the way, let me tell you, I don't even want to pilot the jet. Okay? I want Jesus as Lord of my life. I don't want control. I don't want him to say, okay, Wood, you take it from here. I want Jesus to say, I got you. I'm going to carry you all the way through. And he's promised that. We have a Savior who lives and reigns forever. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are his. And therefore, anybody who comes along and says, yeah, but that's not enough, they don't know what they're talking about. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he will reign forever and ever. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't ever forget it. So, if we're saved by grace through faith, really doesn't matter what we do, does it? Okay? Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Read the rest of the book. If we are saved by grace through faith, our lives should be a daily thank you to God. We ought to be saying, how can I serve you? How can I express my gratitude to you? Wanting to please him, not to earn heaven, but because we are so glad. I was on the way to hell and totally deserved it. And he rescued me and made me part of his family and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I owe him everything. I don't just owe him something or a lot. I owe him everything. So if I really believe the gospel, the only sane response is to say, Lord, my life is yours. Do what you will with me. Show me what you want me to do. Show me where you want me to go. Show me what you'd have me say. Just do what you want with me. Live your life through me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's my desire. And when I say, That's my desire. What I intend is, that's our desire.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.